We are on Daf Nun on the base. So with the last line we saw Machlekes, can you use wine for Netilas Yadayim? That was a discussion that we saw. Now remember, we saw it was a little bit tricky because there were alternative girsois. According to the first opinion, that's Rabbi Loza, you can use wine for Netilas Yadayim. The question was whether it's wine before you've added the water or wine after you've added the water. That depended on various girsois. But the bottom line is you can use wine, certainly in some cases, for Netilas Yadayim. And the Chachamim said that no, you can't. Now, why did the Chachamim say that you cannot use wine for Netilas Yadayim? And the answer is because that's what's called Hefsed Oichlin. Hefsed Oichlin means you're ruining the food, you're not putting it to usage by being eaten, and therefore that's also to do. That's what we saw so far. So let's have a look again in the Gemara, when the Gemara says, Kaman Ozlo. The first word on the line is Heimenu. Heimenu Leodaim, and the third word on that line is Kaman Ozlo. The following statement, whom would that fit in with? It says, Ha da Omar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Oise Odom Kol Tzrochov Bapas. A person can do whatever he wants with bread. In other words, he does not seem to be concerned with the issue of Hefsed Oichlin. Whose opinion would that follow? The answer is, Kaman Kerbeliezer. It must be Rebeliezer. Why must it be Rabbi Elazar? Because according to the Chachamim, Chachamim clearly disagree. The Chachamim say that if you cannot do Netilas Yadayim with Pas, they obviously are concerned with Hefsed Oichlin. So look at Rashi. Rashi Kerbeloza, it's just the one after the very long Rashi. Kerbeloza Da'omar, Rabbi Elazar was the one who said that Noiklin Heimenu Liyodayim, that yes, you can use wine for Netilas Yadayim, Veloi Chayesh. And he does not seem to be concerned, lehefsed oichlin. So it would seem to be that we have a machloikas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim, and Shmuel, who said you could do whatever you like with the bread, seems to be adopting the stance of Rabbi Elazar, which is there is no problem, no issa of hefsed oichlin. Now, there is a very lengthy tosfos over here, but we're not going to see it yet, because we have to see further on in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Oma Rabbi Yosi ben Rabbi Chanina. Moedim Chachomim l'Rabbi Loza. The Chachomim would agree to Rabbi Loza. Bekois shal bracha. She'ein mevorchin olov ad she'yitein l'toichoy mayim. Remember, Rabbi Loza held that you cannot say the bracha of Boirei Pri HaGofen over wine until you've added water to the wine. Why? Because until such point, it is not considered to be drinkable. The Chachamim clearly disagreed. And the Chachamim said, no, you always say Hagofen on wine, whether or not you've added water. So now the Gemara is telling you that there's one case that Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Elazar. When is that? A kois shel bracha. A kois shel bracha means you're not just drinking wine because you fancy drinking wine. Rather, you're drinking wine because it's a kos of bracha, let's say Birkas Hamazon or Kiddush. Why there would they all of a sudden admit that you have to add water? Says the Gemara, my timer. Why would that be different? Omer of Oishia, bo'inon mitzvah min ha-muvchar. Because it's got to be a choice mitzvah, an extra special mitzvah. Meaning, everybody agrees, we can't deny the facts on the ground that wine without water is very difficult to drink. And it's definitely far more tasty and more pleasant when you've added water. That's non-negotiable. The Chachamim maintain that even when you have not added water, you can nonetheless still make a bracha over it. We'll see in a minute why would you want to drink it under those circumstances. But they do say that in the case of a kois shel bracha, when you're making kiddush or berakas hamazon for that matter, in that case, then you've got to have a mitzvah min hamuvcha. And a mitzvah min hamuvcha, like a hidur mitzvah, that would definitely require that the wine is not just vaguely drinkable, but it's got to be positively pleasant. So even the Rabbonon would agree in the case of the kosher shel bracha, first add your water to the wine, and only then can you make your bracha over it, whether it be kiddush or whatever it may be. Now, says the Gemara, V'rabbonon l'may chazin. What's the shaila of the Gemara? L'may chazin, literally translated, means l'may chazin. What is it fit for? What does that mean? What fit for? Says Rashi, l'may chazin, l'may chazin l'shtia. How would it be fit for drinking? The mevarchin olav birkas yayayin. The Rabbanon maintain that even before adding the water to the wine, you make a bracha over it, which bracha? Bore pri agofen. With the question being that surely before you've added the water, it's not very tasty. People don't generally drink that type of wine. So l'may chazi, what's it fit for? What's it used for? Well, people go around drinking this type of wine? Surely not. That's not a normal way of drinking. To which the Gemara answered, Omer Reb Zeira chazi l'kuraiti. Rabbi Yosef, how do they translate kuraiti with you? Is it some type of
medication? They don't. It measures a note. 18. A generic term for the beverages known in Tanaic literature as anumlin and aluntis.
That's what Rashi. Yeah. So Rashi says, "Lekuraiti paishon belaz uveloshnachom anumlis vaaluntis." So these seem to be some sort of heavy beverages where, yes, you might not be drinking these on your regular Tuesday lunch, but if you really wanted some strong alcohol, then you would drink this, and it's not considered to be completely abnormal. And therefore, it's considered to be relatively normal drinking, and mamela, you'd make a bracha of bere priyagofen. Okay, now, we're going to discuss a little bit, and then Bez Hashem will come back to the tasters we saw we left out. We're going to discuss a little bit the halachas of hefsed oichlin. These are very, very important halachas. I remember one occasion having an interesting shaila from the husband of a kindergarten teacher. And the husband, or maybe she called it, I remember, either the kindergarten teacher, but either way, the shaila was, can you use food, Reb Nachum, this is negeir to you and your good lady. Reb Nachum, this is definitely very negeir for you and your wife. Can you use food not for eating purposes? So this particular shaila, the kindergarten teacher, they want to take rice, let's say, and color it and make some type of display out of rice. And you obviously, once you've colored the rice with crayons or whatever it may be, it's no longer edible. Is that hefsed oichlin? And if it is it also to do? This is a big shaila. So let's learn the sugi a little bit. Tanu Rabbonon, Dalad Dvarim Ne'emru Bapas. The Braisa teaches us that there are four halachas that are said with regard to bread. Halacha number one, Ein Manichin Bosar Chai Al Hapas. Do not place raw meat on bread. Raw meat is obviously non-edible. If you put raw meat on bread, then presumably it will drip, for example, into the bread and will render the bread non-edible. Number one. Number two, ve'ein mavirin kois mole al hapas. very similar halacha, do not pass a full cup over the bread. If you've got a cup brimming full, absolutely to the top, and you need to pass it to somebody else, don't do so over the bread, because the chances are it might spill. And if it does, again, the bread will become all soggy. Halacha number three. Ve'ein zoirkin es hapas. Do not throw bread. Bread is considered not just to be food, but it's the most chashuv of all foods. And therefore, to throw it will be a bezayin. Halacha number four, again, very similar. Ve'ein soimchin es haka'ora, the pas. Do not lean the bowl on bread. You've got your bowl of cholent or soup, whatever it may be. Don't prop it up with a loaf of bread. Because if you do that, the soup may spill all over the bread. Once again, it'll make the bread soggy, non-edible, and that will be hefsed eichle. Says Rashi, Ein mavirin kois mole ala pas. Why would you not pass a full cup over the bread? Sheloi yishofich. So that it should not spill al hapas. Because if you do that and it spills over the bread, v'tehe hapas bezuya. Then the pas will become a bezuya. It'll be a bezoyan. It'll become spoiled. And it'll consider, therefore, a hefsed eichle. Very interesting. I have a very close friend who lives in London. When I was a child, I used to stay in their house a lot. And on Friday night, their father used to make a bracha mitzi lechem in haaretz over the lechem mishnah, and he used to throw the bread to the guests and to anybody for that matter around the table. Have you ever seen that, anybody, by the way?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yes. No. You have seen that?
Yes. Sfardim. I see a lot of Sfardim do it.
Okay, I can't quite imagine Ramesh Zelig there with his catapult shooting bread around the table. But either way, so yeah. I asked him on occasion.
Pasnisht.
Pasnisht, right. It's pasnisht. So why would you... So I asked him, why does he do this? Now, the interesting thing is, to be perfectly honest, this was not a minhag that he had received from his parents, because he actually was a non-Jew who converted. He was a Ger Tzedek. So all of his own customs have come maybe from his rebbeim and yeshivas, whoever it were. So either way, I asked him, so why do you throw the bread? So he told me there are a number of reasons for this minhag, apparently. Number one, because bread always represents parnasa. And by throwing it and it lands on your plate, it reminds us that parnasa comes from Shemayim. Another reason is very, very fascinating. We know that the shulchan, our table, is comparable to the mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And on the Beis HaMikdash, they did throw the meat onto the mizbeach. The Kohen used to stand at the end of the kevesh, the end of the ramp, and there was a bit of a gap, and used to throw the emurim onto the mizbeach. So as a remez to that, he throws the bread across the table, like the karbonos. I think maybe there was a third reason as well. I don't remember. But I must be honest, I've never, ever seen it before or after.
Wouldn't a remez for that to be throw your meat, not the challah?
Don't try this at home. I don't know. I've never, ever seen it. You said you've seen Sfadim do it, Nachum?
Yeah. And my friends also have friends that are, because they come home and they want to start throwing the challah around. It's always a sfardi.
Or they just like throwing things around the house?
Probably a little bit of both.
A bit of both, okay. So I don't know, I've never, ever seen it. It's definitely neged Shulchan Aruch. But you know where this is very, very negel halacha, and we're going to see this in the continuation of the Gemara? Very negel halacha in the Grah Shul when it comes to a bar mitzvah or a chasen and everyone throws candies.
Oh, so the sweets, yeah.
Yep. So that halacha is discussed in Shulchan Aruch. I must be honest, until I came to Eretz Yisrael, I never saw this at a bar mitzvah ever. they did for a chosen at an oifruf, they did used to throw, but it wasn't like kids throw candies where, you know, a kid goes home with 74 candies. They used to sort of throw like a little bag with nuts and other little things, raisins, I don't know exactly other things. But I know in the Yekesh shuls, Rabbi Yosef, you remember Munk Shul in Golders Green?
I remember, but I was never there on Shabbos, I have to tell you.
Right, so they, B'shumponim v'oifen, they were Yekesh shul, they never allowed throwing, if I'm not mistaken, including Simchas Torah as well. There was no throwing of sweets or candies or anything.
At our yeshiva in Los Angeles, Rosh Yeshiva was masaking that we would move the Sefer Torah to the back of the Beis Medrash, and we announced that nothing was to be thrown until the brachos after the Haftorah, so that the Sefer Torah would not be pelted with candies. Felt that was a bizayon.
It is a bizayon. It's very interesting. I've seen in a shul in London where my father-in-law used to daven, Eitz Chaim Shul, Rabbi Yosef, in Bridge Lane. There, they had a plastic, solid plastic, not like a plastic bag, a heavy, thick plastic cover for the Sefer Torah, which they used to place over the Sefer Torah whenever there was a bar mitzvah, an ofra, if you used to throw candies. Otherwise, like you said, it's mamash a bizayon to Sefer Torah. I personally feel it's a bizayon to the whole Beis HaMedrash. If I had enough guts, I would outlaw it in our shul as well. But it seems to be it's commonly accepted in this country. But to land on the Sefer Torah, I couldn't think of a more of a bizayon than that. What's minag mishkafayim, Rav Nachum?
We try to throw it at the rabbi.
That's why you're on your third rabbi now, right?
They throw potato kugel.
No, we always. I grew up my whole life with candy bags and shul.
Candy bag
was normal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember once at an offer from Los Angeles, they were throwing really, really hard candies at the chassan, and the Rosh Yeshiva called out, "I know who packed these. The mother-in-law."
Okay, so it is a big shaila. It is a big shaila. How it is permitted, we'll see. Some of it is actually discussed later on in our Gemara, and we'll see it's mentioned in the Mishnah Berurah. But let's keep going. Says the Gemara. So we've just had these four halachas with regard to pas. Number one, do not put raw meat on bread. Do not pass a full cup over the bread. Do not throw the bread and do not use the bread to prop up your bowl. Ameimar umar zutra verav ashi. So you have now here three amaroim. Ameimar, mazutra, and ravashi. Korchu rifta bahodi hadoda were eating bread together. Rifta is bread. They were eating bread together. I see lekamayhu. They were brought in front of them, tamri v'rimoini. Tamarim, as we know, is, of course, figs.
Dates.
Sorry, dates. And rimoini is pomegranates. Shokal marazutra. Marazutra took one of these fruits. Posak, which Rashi translates as zorak, Posak, he threw lekamei derav Ashi distana. What distana? Ashi says, mona shel bosar mavushal, a portion or a piece of cooked meat. So now, what did he throw? Did he throw a fruit or did he throw a piece of meat?
Piece of meat.
Sounds like he threw a piece of meat. To which the Gemara immediately asked, Omar Lei. He said to him, what's going on? Rav Ashi turned around to Marzutra. Loi, sovar, lo mar. Does the master not hold? Lahod Tanya, that which we learned in a brisa, the Ein Zerkin Esa Oichlin question mark. How can you throw food? What's going on over here? So he answered, no, Hahiba Pas Tanya. That brisa was talking about pas. If you have a statement saying you should not throw food, it is not a general statement. It refers to pas. Now, why would pas be different? So for the moment, let's assume the reason why it would be different is because pas is considered more choshev. And if pas is more choshev, it will be considered a bizoyan to throw it. But we'll see, it depends on how you learn the hemshech of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, how can you tell me that this only applies to pas? But other foods, it's no problem. V'hotanya, surely we have learned in a brisa. Kashem, she'ein, zorkin, es, hapas. Kach, ein, zorkin, es, ha'ichlen. It says quite clearly, in the same way as you do not throw bread, you do not throw foods. So how can you tell me that this is a rule specific to bread? The Brisa says quite clearly that actually it refers to everything. And if it refers to everything, so back to square one, how could you possibly have thrown that piece of meat? Says the Gemara, lo ikashya. That does not present a difficulty. Why? Ho b'midi de mim is.
I think we skipped a line, didn't we?
Yeah.
Amar lei.
Ahi. Hatanya.
Hatanya. Amar lei la Hatanya.
Sorry. V'hatanya. Keshem she'en zorkin es apas, kach en zorkin es ha'ichlin. Amar lei. So he answered back. No, 1 second. We have a reverse brisa. We have a brisa that says, Af al pi she'ein zorkin es hapas, even though you may not throw food, avol zorkin es ha'ichlim, you can throw foods.
Even though we don't throw bread,
yeah. You
throw food.
Even though you don't throw bread, but you can throw food. So we seem to have an absolute glaring contradiction between the two brises. The first brisa says, in the same way as we do not throw bread, so too we do not throw any food. Next brisa says, even though you may not throw bread, but you can throw foods. So what's going on? Both of the brisas clearly agree you cannot throw bread. But can you throw food or not? Brisa number one says it's the same as bread. And the second brisa says it's not the same as bread. So what's going on? And all of this is, of course, related to this story in which he threw a piece of meat. So yes, he does have a brisa to back him up, but he also has a brisa which contradicts him. So what's going on over here? Says the Gemara, Elo loikasha. There is a simple way to reconcile these two brises, and that will therefore decide whether you can or can't throw a piece of meat. Ho b'midi de mim is. Habemidi de loy mimis. Mimis from the word ma'us. Ma'us means whether it will get spoiled. Some foods, if you throw them, they will become spoiled. Other foods, if you throw them, will not become spoiled. It depends on that. So it sounds like bread, it sounds like you can never throw. Because of its chashivas, perhaps. But other foods, can you or can you not throw them? It depends. Is it the type of food that will become spoiled or not? So everybody understands, if you throw a nut, for example, it will not become spoiled. If you throw a tomato, then maybe it will become spoiled. So look at Rashi. Midi de mimis. On something that will become spoiled, that should not be thrown. What does it mean will become spoiled? Says Rashi, she mismaich. Mismaich means it will become squashed. She tismaich bizrikosei. It will become squashed by being thrown. What will be an example? Kegoin te'enim, like figs. Shebishlu kol tzarkam, which are very ripe. if you have figs that are very ripe, as we know, they're very round and succulent. So if they're not yet ripe and they're harder, if you throw it, nothing will happen. But if you throw a fig which is fully ripe, it will definitely get squashed. Or, says Rashi, the tutim. Tutim is strawberries. A strawberry does not have a solid feature about it. It's not like an apple. If you throw an apple, it could well be that it will not become spoiled, depending on how tough it is. Whereas fully ripe figs or strawberries, because they are soft, those will become spoiled. In other words, they'll become squashed when you throw them, and therefore you should not throw them. What would be an example of when you can throw it? Deloy mimis, when it does not become spoiled. What's that, says Rashi? Rimoin, a pomegranate. A pomegranate has a tough outer skin, a thick skin. Therefore, if you throw a pomegranate, nothing will happen to the fruit. Or the egois or a nut, the chol dovor kosher. Anything that has a tough outside shell or skin, like a melon, let's say, for example, or an orange maybe, it will not become spoiled.
Cooked so meat would fall in the former category, I would say.
Sorry?
Cooked meat would fall in which category?
That's the question. So it would seem to be that it's all lefi ha'inyan. It depends what you have in front of you. So if this amoira threw a piece of meat, then it would seem to be that we're talking about a piece of meat that does not become spoiled. Although I'm still struggling to understand, I must be honest, why did the Gemara make mention of the fact that they brought fruit to the table? What's that got to do with it? It says they brought fruit to the table. Which particular fruit? Says dates and pomegranates. But then he threw, what did he throw? A piece of meat? So why is it mentioned? Why is that relevant to the story that they brought fruit to the table? Rabbi Yosef, if they make any comment in the art scroll? You're on mute at the moment. Or Rabbi Eliyahu David, does any comment on that Gemara? Where the Gemara says he brought fruit. So what did he throw? He threw the meat. So why is it relevant in the story that they brought fruit to the table?
Rimon goes the chal devar kasha.
In other words, the fruits were obvious. One you can't throw, the other you can't throw, but the meat is a suffix.
Is that what they point out right in the beginning of the story, Eliyahu? Right back to the beginning of the story when it says.
No, he quotes the Marshal.
Yeah.
It's evident from, I think it's still quoting the Marshal, that from the ensuing Gemara, that Marzutra threw a food that doesn't become repulsive when thrown,
right,
such as one of the pomegranates that were brought before him, rather than a piece of cooked meat, which would get ruined when thrown.
So what did he throw then?
However, Beis Yosef, there's something in the Shulchan Aruch, explains that Marzutra threw the cooked meat onto Rav Ashi's clean plate, and thus it didn't get ruined.
Yeah, so either way, I'm not clear then why he had to mention in the story that he brought fruit to the table. The bottom line is clear. He definitely threw food which does not become repulsive, does not become spoiled, because that was the contradiction. We have one braisa that says, don't throw bread or any other food. We have another braisa that says, don't throw bread, but you can throw other food. And the bottom line was, does it become spoiled or not? So whatever he threw, whether it was a fruit or a piece of meat, clearly he threw something that does not become spoiled. It's rather a chidush to say that if you throw a piece of meat, it will not become spoiled. But like you said, maybe if you threw it directly onto a plate, so maybe it did not become spoiled. Okay, so either way, that would seem for the moment to be the halacha. By the way, we will look at this up in Shulchan Aruch because this is very, very negeh.
That's why Rashi says, Delo b'ma'is, it says, Rimon ve'egoz ve'chol devar kasher. Anything right. That's hard will not get spoiled.
Right, and therefore, whoopsie. Right, and therefore it would hardly seem likely, if Rashi says the chol devar kasher, so it hardly seems likely that he threw a piece of meat. Meat is definitely not devar kasher. Kavakasha, like you said, is a fruit with a thick peel or a nut. Okay, we will have to look up in Shulchan Aruch. But let's just, we have a couple of minutes. Have a look at one more line of Gemara. We'll try and finish to the two dots. Tana Rabbanon. Mamshichin yayin betzinoirais lifnei chosn vekala. This is the makor of throwing things to the chosn at his ofruf. The Gemara says, Mamshichin yayin betzinoirais. They used to flush wine through some tzinoirais, literally means a pipe. Lifnei the chosn and kala. So the wine would be flowing in front of the chosn and kala. Says Rashi, towards the end of the narrow lines, Mamshichin yayin betzinoirais mishum simen toiv. It's like a good omen. Wine is spilling, like we spill wine, for example, on Havdalah, Moitzoi Shabbos, Kos Yeshuas Esa, Shaftem Mayim Besosim. So too, they used to spill this wine in front of the Chosn and Kala as a good omen. Now, why is that not a problem of Bizoyin Oichlin? Veinkan says Rashi Mishum Bizoyin Oichlin, Afisha Mekablim Oisei, because when he used to flush through the pipe, they didn't just allow it to run onto the floor. Makablin, they used to catch it, Baroish pi hatzinoir. At the end of the pipe, pi is the mouth, they used to catch the wine, bekli. So they did not allow the wine to run onto the floor. That clearly would be a bizoyin oichlin. That's not what they did. They flushed the wine through the pipe as a simon toiv, and then they had a cup collecting it at the other end. That's not a problem. Says the Gemara, V'zorkin lefneiem kloyois ve'egoizim. And they used to throw in front of them kloyoises, like cooked or baked kernels of wheat, ve'egoizim and nuts, but only b'yemois hachama, only in the summer months, avaloi b'yemois hagashomim. This, by the way, is not talking about in shul, it's talking about when they got married, or the chuppah. The chuppah was outdoors, so they used to throw these foods only in the summer, but not in the winter. What's the difference? Says Rashi, b'yemois hachama she'ein tit bedrochim. There's no mud on the floor. In the summer months, everything is dry, therefore there's no mud on the floor. But in the winter, there is mud. So if you throw these foods, there'll be bizoy and toichlin. Avoloi gluskois. What's gluskois?
Baked rolls.
If you throw baked rolls, loy b'maisacham avoloi b'maisagashamim, do not throw those either in summer or the winter. Says Rashi, why not? On the first wide line. Because those, even in the summer, they will become spoiled. So other foods will only become spoiled if they land in the mud. But if you throw a roll, something like that, it'll become spoiled either way. So therefore, do not throw those for a chosn and kala, whether in the summer or in the winter. So that's really the end of the sugya. We're going to see Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow. If you have a chance, have a look at these Tosafim. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, a number of Tosafim in the Be'ezus Hashem we will learn tomorrow, all being well. Okay. All right. Everybody have a good day.